Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, on the street day and night, that's my life, that's my home. I can go, so I just walk the streets telling the people about Jesus. I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody about somebody who can save anybody. He said,
praise God, praise God. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David. I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. The Scripture tells us in Proverbs 4:20-22, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ears unto thy saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes, but keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all our flesh. as that gentleman said in the song, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And anybody includes me, you, anyone who is willing to be open to receive what God has to offer. And one of the ways to be able to do this is through being able to say with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you, that he sacrificed his life for you. When confession is made and the heart is blended with it, you can be saved. That is so essential because it truly is the golden opportunity for you to receive the blessings and the benefit that only God can give. It is a wonderful day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am so excited about being here today. Why? Because I've been in the midst of the storm. I've been through some challenges that has tested me, test my faith, test my hope, test every fiber about me to believe that I could be fine in my physical body. But yet, nothing could move my spirit. I trust God. I believe God. I have hope in God. He told me that he gives me a hope and a future. And that kept me holding on like a bulldog that had a steak that ate in 30 days. He ain't going to let go. I'm not going to let go. But good, I'm glad to see that we're back on the line doing our thing again. So as I said, the greatest thing that one can do is accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Today's quote is, true joy is not the absence of pain, but the sacrificing, sustaining presence of the Lord Jesus in the midst of the pain. A smile is in the midst of pain is not always a mask. Oftentimes, it is as beautiful a bravery as can be. The other one is, we must praise God in the midst of our pain, even if it seems abnormal to do so. Chronic pain is not about the body. It is not about the brain and everything. It's targeting everything, taking back your life. And peace does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, no trouble, no hard work. It means to be in the midst of all those things and still be calm in your heart. And the scripture tells us in Job 6:10, at least I can take comfort in this. Despite the pain, I have not denied the words of the Holy One. And 1 Peter 5:9-10 said, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And 1 Peter 4:13 says, instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ, and make you partners with Christ in suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. And Job 1:21-22 says, at this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground and worshiped and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. I want to tell you a little story where all you can do is pray. There was a young lady by the name of Carlotta Bennett, who was 38 years old. And she had realized in her house had reached her family's hiding place in the attic. She lost control of her emotions. She had good reasons to panic because Hurricane Katrina was blowing the section of the roof off her home. Her house was off of its foundation, and the rising water was threatening to drown the five people trapped in the attic. Two huge pecan trees had fallen around the house, one in front and the other in the back. As the house shifted from side to side, the trees wedged the house in place and kept it from collapsing. Nevertheless, every new blast of wind and the rising water threatened to kill the entire family. That's when Carlotta's four-year-old daughter decided it was time to pray. I never been so scared in my life, Bennett said. But when her daughter began to pray by telling her mom, calm down, let's pray, she grabbed all of us by the hand and started to pray. When the child finished praying, the water started receding. And when the family scrambled down the attic stairs, they found almost every entrance blocked by the trees that had saved their lives. Clyde Burrow Bennett, Carlotta's husband, led his family through the window, and all five members generally made it their way into the middle school where they would stay for the next 10 days. However, once it was over, we had to get out, but we couldn't get out the door, Carlotta said. The root of that tree pulled the porch up in front of the door, so we had to climb out the window. A beam fell back on her back so she could hardly walk. Once she got outside, we had to walk on the top of the debris with nails sticking up everywhere. All kind of seafood on the ground. It was awful, she stated. Four people in the neighborhood had died. Many were injured. The sound of the howling wind gave way to the sound of the screaming people collapsing houses. There was a shed floating down the street, a riding lawnmower, Bennett said. There were photo albums open in our yard, photo albums from other people's homes. We had two cars, but they were gone as well. We lost everything. At the middle school, more than 350 people, many of them injured, lived without running water or electricity for the next week and a half. The Red Cross delivered first load of food and juices. Families bathed outside from the West Spittle. Only later did they find that the water was contaminated. There inside the school, the toilets refused to flush. The conditions were becoming dangerously unhealthy. After 5 days, most of the families moved outside where they lived on the parking lot for five more days. With their world in disarray, fading hope for a rescue, Bennett and other destitute families began to pray for a miracle. In the face of such disaster, it was the only thing they could do. Life is full of unpredictable that will change your life in the twinkling of an eye, turn it upside down. And as we saw in the story of the Bennett and others during this Katrina catastrophe, truly they were experiencing pain and suffering that could break the best of us. However, it was essential to hold fast. It was essential for them to hold fast to their faith, as the young daughter of the Bennett did. We must also remember where our help comes from. For only through prayer that can we receive the true help that we need. As the young lady, the young daughter saw when she began to pray, she knew where help come from. So I'm bringing this because, again, for the last 11, 12 days, if you will, I went from pain to suffering. And in that challenge, in those challenging moments, I found that it was such a struggle every day to even pray. But I was determined to do so. But just the other day, it got so bad. I was about to call the ambulance to come pick me up. It got so bad, all I could do was be on my knees. And in that, God gave me the strength through the Holy Spirit, pray out and call out to him. And he relieved my tension. You see, God is where you need to go. God is who you need to go to when your times are trouble short, because we will experience pain and suffering. So that's the story of our title of our show, Faith in the Midst of Pain and Suffering. In the course of life, we all have had these moments where we felt everything seemed to be falling apart. What we seem to be experiencing our Job story, where pain and suffering seems to be the thing we can't help but focus on in the present moment. Where we can relate to Job, how he felt during those challenges that was brought upon him. Those unpredictable moments. I want to take a moment just to give a summary of Job's story. In Job 1 through 18, in the land of Oz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. Job 1:1. Now, that's amazing. In the midst of life and all the challenges around here, Job was able to be recognized by God as being blameless and upright. So the book of Job opens about this man who lived in Lanai, whose name we know was Job. He was the one who was able to stand strong. However, I look at this one scene that takes place in heaven where Satan comes to accuse Job before God. He insists Job only served God because God protected him, for which he seeks God's permission to test Job's faith and loyalty. So God allows Satan to test Job's faith and loyalty. See, we all can have faith when everything is going well. We all can walk around and say we love the Lord, we trust the Lord, we believe in the Lord, we have hope in the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We can quote scriptures all day long. But the true test is what God had done with Job was to see where your faith and loyalty lies. God granted his permission only within a certain limitation, which draws the question of why does righteous suffer? This is the question raised after Job lost his family, his health, his wealth. Many times, like the story of the Hurricane of Katrina, where many people lost their health, they lost their lives, they lost their sense of well-being. They lost it all in that moment. And for those who had not accepted Christ as personal Lord and Savior or had not the foundational piece to believe in God, they were in the struggle. See, this causes any person to wonder what is happening. Why is it happening? And did Job cause it to happen? This is how we wondered. And he had these three friends who even come to comfort him. But then they began to crush him a little bit because they started to accuse him. The fourth gentleman that showed up started to accuse him of something that he must have done. He tells Job that he needs to humble himself and submit to God of the trials and to purify his life. But you see, Job hadn't done nothing wrong. And see, as this negotiation or conversation went on in heaven with God and Satan, see, this is something sometimes we're not aware of. And sometimes we're not aware of what's going on behind the scenes or what is about to happen in the future. And it seems to be in that present moment. So for myself, I went to bed fine. But when I woke up, I couldn't really walk because I was in such excruciating pain and I hadn't done nothing. I could have related mentally if I had went to the gym, worked out, pushed too much weight, done something to or fail or did something to say, okay, there's a reason for this. But in this case, there was no rhyme or reason. I just woke up and I was in pain, excruciating pain. But see, we have to understand that sometimes God will allow things to happen in order for us to begin to grow. And so we understand that Job's friend may be well-intended, but they came with something else that many people do. They come with this ideal of judgment. See, we sometimes are so quick to judge, to criticize. We don't take the moment to try to understand, to get the proper judgment. Because when you get that, you can make an educated spiritual decision or put a concept together in your head that would be reasonable enough for you to be the iron, the sharper iron, to be the encourager, not one to come to discourage someone. So many times we have the tendency to do that. We'd be quick to speak. We slow to listen. And Job was trying to tell his friends, but they were so quick to speak. Initially, they come with the good heart. They come with the good intent. Many people in our lives come with the good intent. But as they go to talking, let me say slow to speak, they go to talking, they're talking out of their own lack of knowledge. Only God has the fullness of the real story within our lives. Again, in the same here with Job, God had the fullness of how this all manifested. But although Job remained devoted to God through all of this, he could and contend that his life had not been of one of sin, this other individual continued to look at him from a negative perspective. But Job questioned God himself and learned a valuable lesson about the sovereignty of God and his need to totally trust in the Lord. Job is then restored, given back his health, his happiness and his prosperity beyond the earlier state of the experience he was going through. And in most cases, we can look at this from an external point of view, but we understand emotionally a lot of times we can't see what's going on inside of a person, their trials, their tribulation, their suffering. And many of the people I've been working with, a program we call the Smash Suicide, and we see the young people starting to give up, beginning to want to take their lives because they're suffering inside. And many times people looking from an outside perspective think they know or have the answer to what your problem is or why you are the problem, but they lack that knowledge. Only again, God knows the fullness of what's going on with us. This is why it's so important that when we go through pain and suffering, who do we go to first? We go to God, just like that little young lady did. Let us go in prayer. This is the time, sometime in our trials and tribulations, it is easy to feel like God is not there. He doesn't have our best interests at heart. Yet Job was one astonishing example of when we are faced with the unthinkable stress. Job understood that he preferred to trust God, who has shown him in many times the importance of believing in God and not himself or man. I'm also reminded of another story, the story of Daniel, that says, but even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your God or worship image of gold you have set up. In a broader context, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said this verse as King Nebuchadnezzar threatened to throw them into the blazing furnace. In the face of death, the trio believed God would save them. Even if he doesn't, they still did not waver in their faith. Many times that's what we do when trials and tribulations come. And in most cases, most people are not bent out of shape if their life is going in harmony with the way they want it to go. And this whole process, as I'm learning every day about studying the written word, going to God in prayer, communicating with those who are in the Christian community, and trying to get as much knowledge, wisdom, and understanding such as these programs, Bible study, prayer calls, and things of this nature, it allows us to begin to build that trust. It allows us to be prepared, like the five maidens, be prepared with our oil, because life is going to do something unexpectedly that's going to alter your comfortable situation. I had told myself and someone else that I had to go back to my military training. And one of the things when I returned home and I was talking to the doctor, she said to me that one of the problems with you soldiers is that y'all always look at life as life situation as life and death. Everything's so crucial. And I thought, and I think I might have said, but right now I'll say, I thought to myself, it is about life and death. Everything is about life and death. The word tells us that life and death is in the power of the tongue. So we have to take a moment to take life more seriously and not be so complacent. Because one of the things we used to say in the military, if you get complacent, you could die. And I used to often say physical death is not always the end result. Sometimes it's psychological death. It's emotional death. It's financial death. It's relational death. And truly, it's spiritual death. So it's so important that we don't get complacent. See, Job, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could all praise God in the midst of pain and suffering, even death. What is it that gave them such hope and confidence in their Lord? I believe their incredible faith came from seeing God provide time and time again. If we take a moment to reflect back on our life, I'm 63 years old. If I look back on my life and I see when I became conscientious enough to kind of understand something about life, I can see how God brought me through. Even though I wasn't worshiping, you know, they take you to church, but I really didn't have a sense of knowing God. I do of God. And I can remember very vividly getting hit by a car. I believe I was 5 or 6. I was blind in one eye. I got my leg broken, and I had a cast on my arm. And so it was very difficult to get around. Kids would pick on you, tease you, and it's like, that's unbelievable. And I told my mother I thought I was going to die because I was a kid. But my mother told me, God got you. God got you, baby. You ain't going to die. And when I recovered from all, and also I bit my tongue, so I almost lost my tongue as well. They had to sew it back together. So part of my tongue was taken away, piece of it. But it reminds me of what my mother said, God got you. He ain't going to let you die. And as I went through the course of my life of challenges that continued to come at me, as a kid, again, being a rambunctious kid, a curious kid, I mean, we would do some strange things. In the old days, kids would jump from garage to garage. Sometimes I missed. One time I missed and fell on a nail right in my head, still got the groove there. But God got me. See, and in that time frame, it wasn't me praying, but it was family members, grandparents, and neighborhood mothers and fathers who was praying, standing in the gap for this rambunctious kid who had potential, but just a wild boy, wild like a wild banshee, they say. But God had me. He was preparing me for a moment as this. See, nothing could have told me I'd be standing here having this type of conversation or speaking this way. I could see myself in the military speaking, but I wasn't speaking in the level of talking about the power and trusting God. But God has a plan for us. See, I know that God has a plan that is prepared for us for a future, that provides for us in the long run to what we can deal with in the hard times in the present moment. See, Job has seen God's consistent nature when he provided for Abraham after many years of waiting. He saw God save Noah and the family from a flood. He saw God provide manna from heaven when he brought the Israelites out of Egypt. Job has seen through the scriptures, if you will, God's plan of provision prevail time after time. And while his situation seemed bleak, he still knew God was good because of how he had blessed and provided for so many, including himself. In the same way, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had seen God save them, seen miracles like the flood and the splitting of the Red Sea. You see, they knew God's power. They were not afraid of the furnace because they knew their God. See, that's as I said earlier. See, I knew of God, but now I know God. And every day as I draw near to him, he draws near to me. And this is what's so essential. You know, I meet people all the time, and a lot of times, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. But when you ask them to define it, they go hemming and humming. They're like Elmer Fudge. See, because then they can't give you clarity. And they will come back and be different. Well, you know, my relationship with God is private. People shouldn't be talking about God. But we should not be ashamed of God because we don't want him to be ashamed of us. And I know there's a time and a season and a reason for everything, a time to speak, a time to be silent. But we should never be ashamed of what God has brought us through. And as I said earlier, if anybody, I don't care who you are, even if you're not saved, you cannot deny that the fact that God has never left you or forsake you. Why? I know because you're still standing. He hasn't called you home. Standing, you still have an opportunity to draw closer to him. You see, the gentleman, Job, Meshach, Abednego, and Shadrach knew God. They knew God. They knew God could save them. And they also knew that if he didn't save them, here's the kicker, they were still taken care of by their Savior in heaven. Still taken care of. See, this host we live in, this flesh, this vessel, this clay or this dirt, it's temporal. It's meant to go back to where it came from. But so is the spirit. And this is why it's so important for us to develop the spirit, to mature the spirit. As we feed our body, they say the nutritional balance is 3 meals a day. We should be feeding our spirit the same way. We should be developing our spirit that it would become a Mr. Olympia in size and in strength. See, in the present day, we can still have this same hope and assurance. We can look at the biblical examples and even the real-life example of people whom God has saved and provided for. We can take heart in knowing that he is always faithful, even when we're not. God doesn't change. We may, but he's not moved by the inconsistencies of our actions, but only moved by his truth, his word, You see, God truly is the way, the truth, and the life. God is not going to violate himself. So we may do this, but God does not. See, we all know most human beings hate suffering. But the fact that many of our painful conditions or suffering pain, people can change. Well, it's not always meant to make us appear weak and leave an impression to make, yet it should leave an impression to make us stronger. Sometimes when we as Christians go through pain in life, it helps us to get back on the path of righteousness. See, when I went through this, and I'm still kind of going through it, so I'm a little bit off-centered, but that's okay. I'm pressing on through the pain, you see. But sometimes it slows us down. It makes us have to take that pause for the cause. Not to quit, but to take that rest. As my professor, let me rephrase that, as a teacher once told me that when she asked me what I was going to do, and I think I mentioned this before, was the summer. And I said I was going to do X, Y, Z. And she said, do you know what recreation is? I said, oh, yeah. And I gave her all these examples. She said, no, take time to recreate. Sometimes God just causes us to, if you will, become more humble by losing our own self-reliance and to turn to him for help. See, by my nature, I won't ask nobody for nothing. Me and my mother always said this. I eat peanut butter. I eat sardines. Oh, I just won't eat before I would reach out and ask somebody to do something. But as I got to grow and mature, I realized that you have to reach out. Jesus came and got 12. He could have came. He's God. He could have came and just did it himself. But he got 12, at least 12 we know, and all the others who followed and he and gathered with him. But he got a group of 12. Then he had a smaller group, what they call his inner circle, 3. So it is that the word tells us it is not meant for man to be alone. But see, sometimes when you're growing up in certain environments, they give you this kind of John Wayne, my era of time, this John Wayne, this Shaft, this Superman kind of independence, or quote-unquote the Lone Ranger, when in reality he wasn't alone because he had Tonto. But we don't see them see that because we think we got to do it all on our own. See, I've learned that it's okay to be independent. And sometimes we may have to be dependent. We should first be dependent on God, as I mentioned. But we should be interdependent, interacting, flowing back and forth, iron sharpening iron. See, here as I look at this, I think that it's so essential for us to recognize the power of relying on God. You see, I consider myself as one who likes to stay physically fit, for weightlifting is a part of my training. But now if we think of pain while lifting weight, it might hurt in the moment, but over time you become stronger in the process. More weight equal more pain. More pain equal more strength. The old saying of no pain, no gain has its relevance here because no one can build muscle without some resistance. You have to stretch beyond your reach, and that stretching is to reach towards God. You can't reach the heavens, but you can reach up just like Peter did when he reached up towards Jesus when he was in the water, appearing to be drowning. God, Christ, reached down and pulled him out. And he knew where to go. See, he wasn't trying to be the Lone Ranger because he said, Lord, save me. In the midst of our trials and tribulation, our pain and suffering, it comes a point where we have to say, Lord, save me. But it's our faith that's going to make that real. We have to believe, as I like to use my acronym, faith, full assurance in the heavens, or our Heavenly Father. We have to be assured that God has not left us or forsaken us. Many times people think that because they're looking for something that appeases their appetite of wants and desires and sometimes their basic needs. But when we trust God and look to God in a realistic way, he has never stopped us from having our needs met. He always provides. So we should take a moment to consider that God is healing through the process at the time we may not even know it. As I said, all while Job was going through his pain and suffering, God never left him. He had even set limitations or boundaries to Satan that he couldn't take his life. because God already knew he had a hope and a future for Job. Matter of fact, our hope and future for Job would become our hope and future, because we could see through the midst of losing it all, God's still going to come back and give us a bright future. Hallelujah. So how do we do this in times when it might be hard, when we're trying to see, make sense of things? We must take the moment to find the lessons and the joy that we go through when we're going through pain and suffering. And how do you do it? We must seek Christ. You see, Psalms 34:18 says, "The Lord is closer to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit." Many people are crushed in spirit. All these kind of outrageous behaviors we're seeing today in our society and community, the anger, the hatred, all these things are based on somebody's spirit is broken. You may not like the external piece of it, but the reality of it is inside, remember, this is a vessel. The inside, that spirit is crushed in some form or fashion. And sometimes because they don't reach out to God, they build up anger, animosity, hatred, all these things. And something that's in you going to come out of you. So we're seeing all these different behaviors that are so inappropriate, but their spirit is crushed. As I always like to say, you got to know people's story. When you know their story, you understand. You're not so quick to be like Job's friend and make a quick judgment, because you're seeking to understand, not to judge, to criticize. Hallelujah. You see, as Jesus himself endured the ultimate pain for us, so we can be assured that God never leaves us alone. As believers, we have the source of comfort in our pain. You see, Emmanuel, God is with us. How can this situation help to make us be more like Christ? In Romans 8:18, Paul writes, "I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed." He articulates well the reality that Christians can rejoice despite our pain, because we know that even greater joy awaits us. Our suffering is not the end. How can this situation be help others? Just as God walked with us in our pain, he often sends others to comfort and strengthen us. We might have a tendency to try to hide our struggles from those around us. I'm guilty of that. I don't want to put the burden on nobody. I try to sweat it out, and I often tell myself that's the soldier in me. But every soldier has another soldier that's in front of him, behind him, to the left of him, to the right of him. One is leading, one is side by side with you, and one got your back. That's a 360-degree coverage. That soldier is not alone. That is the reality that one has to take in. As I mentioned to someone, I lost some of that coming out here, no credit, discreditation to civilians, coming out into the civilian world where people are a little more relaxed, more complacent. But complacency gets you killed. And Satan's mission is to kill, steal, and destroy. So we have to wake up and recognize we can't do it alone. And God ensured that when he made another that was like Adam, you don't have to do it alone. So I know it's so important for us, and I'll say this because I know I have a show on Thursday for men, but I say this to men, we don't have to do it alone. Society has done us a disservice. See, they have created these pseudo images of what we're supposed to be like. We're supposed to be the Samsons, the Davids, the Hercules in their more macho state. We're supposed to be the Rockies and the Rambos and all these people who look like they got it all together. In every crisis situation, they got this. If they get shot, they just keep on trucking. If they get cut and they're bleeding, they just patch it up and keep on moving. But sometimes God put others in our life so we can humble ourselves and go and reach out for help. They got the answer. We don't. But we have to have ears to hear. We have to be humble. As I like to always say, there are three qualities that I like to say of myself. I am a student. I am a servant. And I am a leader. I'll always be a student. I'm always ready to serve, and I'm always willing to step up and lead. And I can go through them interchangeably, but one will always stay strong. I always want to be a student open, but this student, like all students, has to sometimes be redirected and corrected. so he can stay or she can stay on the path of moving towards the direction that God's plan for us has. Hallelujah. We might have the tendency to try to hide, as I said, those things around. Yet, we are vulnerable with others about our suffering. When we are vulnerable about our suffering to others, we begin to develop a deeper joy in this Christian family community. Because what happens here, one of the four qualities of love is love always protects. It always creates hope. It always builds trust. It always preserves. When you build in this Christian community, these should be the four qualities that we always strive towards. See, if I trust you, I'll talk to you. Some of the reasons many people don't talk, I remember my son saying one time, the reason young people lie because they don't trust who they're talking to. What's wrong with that picture that the son can't come to the father and say, Dad, I'm struggling here. I just got my heart broke, and I don't know what to do. And the dad turned and said, boy, I want to hear that. Man up. Or, Dad, I was playing football, and I dropped the ball. Man up. Dad, I was out there running and I fell and I missed I missed going over the finish line. Man up. But instead of saying it's okay, son, for every try it moves you closer to success. It's okay, son. Let's sit down and talk about it. Yes, you missed this mark. So what do we do to improve? What was the lessons learned? Taking that pause for the cause as I talk about the five love languages, and my favorite one is always the same: spending time. Quality time. See, then you build that trust. You create that hope because you're trying to preserve the love that you said you have for that child. Why? Because you're trying to protect them. See, and this is the same in a relationship of husband and wife. That wife should be able to trust you. She should have a hope for her future in you. She should know you're always trying to preserve the relationship, and she should know you protect her. But let me flip that around. That wife should also be like the woman of Proverbs 31. She should also be building to protect her husband. Stand up for her husband. They said in Proverbs 31, she made her husband proud in the community. Trust is built. Hope is built. So it's so essential as we move through the trials and tribulations, the pain and suffering, sometimes we don't have to become hard-hearted because God is with us. God is with us, and he's bringing to us what we need to move forward to be victorious. So sometimes our painful experience can also open the door for us to come alongside others who are suffering. See, when someone, many times the reason you don't know about people's struggle is because they don't feel they can come to you without, like Joe's friends, making a critical judgment. As we were talking about the various females in the Bible, and one, I'm blocking her name now, but the one who helped the spies, quote unquote, she was a prostitute. But see, I always come back on them, and since most of my prayer group, in this case a female, what, let's not get caught up in the title. Let's look at, like Jesus did, to look at the potential of what she was to become. What was the potential for? She would become a part of Jesus' bloodline. See, we don't know what God's plan is from our limited perspective. So when people are going through struggles of pain and suffering, we should be willing to help them. Again, we should be willing to elevate, motivate, encourage, support, and be that sponsor, be that iron that sharpens iron when people are struggling. Then they will trust you. Then they will share their troubles. Why is kids taking their life? They don't trust somebody because they're keeping this to themselves. They can't come and say, I don't fit in. They're suffering emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, not just physically. The physical suffering is the outer manifestation of the broken, crushed spirit. Pain and suffering is powerful. But when we build that four qualities of love that always provide these things, then they will turn to us. These are the things we must ask ourselves. Whether we are in a physical, emotional pain, we should seek help and comfort from our Heavenly Father. For you see, our Heavenly Father is the Almighty Healer in every area of our life. So, in conclusion, we must recognize the importance of what we need to deal with when we're going through pain and suffering. The second part of our show is always the soldier's perspective. The love of God heals all wounds that pain and suffering can bring. Sometimes pain and suffering can create such a wound that leaves scars that build up to calluses, making any true presentation of love that is being offered hard to receive. One character in the Bible was Pharaoh, who was of such pride, and maybe because of hurt, disappointment, let down, because we understood as his father gave more credence to Moses than to himself. These things, as I said, the son couldn't communicate to the father, brings about a certain pain and suffering that's internal. And as it's internal, it's going to have to come out at some time. Pharaoh had built his hard-heartedness. He had even got to the point, even became hard-hearted through rejection. That's when Moses attempted to provide another option, he rejected it, which was many of us do today. We want what we want and how we want it. We want it packaged in such a way, but this blinds us from being able to receive the love that's being offered. See, people poo-poo that whole word love away. And I heard someone of significant status say, I still don't know what love is. And I could not identify with that because in my mind, what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 is a good foundation of what love is, what love always do, and what love is not. And it gives me a working foundation to build on with the other qualities of love, of the other titles of love, how to really understand soge or eros or phileia. These things need to be incorporated in it with a foundation of love. But see, we want it our way. See, God love is the only thing that can heal us. It covers a multitude of sin and more, but we must be open to have ears to hear, a heart to believe, a mind to receive. If we're going to go through the pain and suffering that life will present at times, we need to be better prepared with the foundation of love, because with that, it gives us all that we need to be able to deal with anything that comes our way. And then as we go through this pain and suffering, those other qualities of love, love that is patient and kind. Sometimes we got to be patient and kind with ourselves when we're going through the pain and suffering versus getting angry, which love is not. It's slow to anger. You see, or we keep record of wrong and we live with this internal guilt that prevents us. We now become our own oppressor. We create our own pain and suffering. As I do counseling, too many females are stuck in yesterday because they allowed themselves to be with a partner that may not was conducive to their life. And yes, men go through this, but we know that there are probably more times than not where females are a little more hurt by it. But it just depends on who you're talking to. So it's so essential that we learn how to walk away from the negativities that pain and suffering brings, and reach toward what God provides. What He tells us that He comes to give us life more abundant, because Satan, his mission is to kill, steal, and destroy. He's here to take your joy. He's here to take your peace. He's here to take the qualities of love that God provides in you. It comes in us from get-go. Children, when they're born and moving along, don't have this evil in their heart, if you will. But with the world bringing all the negativity, creating the pain and suffering, a 7-year-old who was hurt and abused and taken advantage of in their early years, when they become 27, they're damaged. And only because the word tells us, be transformed by renewing our mind, only then can that mind be transformed. Only then can that heart change to the mind and heart of Christ when we accept God's love. So it's important. See, Jeremiah tells us that in 17:14, heal me, Lord. I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one I prayed. See, when we learn to recognize that God is the one that will heal us, when he heals us, when he saves us, he gives us the life that we better understand and know his salvation. Matthew 7:7-8 said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, the door will be open. God tells us that when we find his word, it's life for us. So it's important that we seek out God. Reach our hand up. See, God's love for us, and he loves us so much, and he has a plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So this week, as we go through the week, let us trust God's plan. Put our hope in him. No matter what the present moment presents in its package of pain and suffering, in all things, let us not lean to our own understanding, but in all of our ways, let us trust God, and he will direct our path. He will ease our troubled mind. He will give us peace that, as I said, surpasses all understanding. He will give us that unspeakable joy in the midst of your pain and suffering. But I know this to be true as we move forward, because God said in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." We can't get there unless, as the Whitey song say, trust in God. Trust in God. Trust in God. So I recognize, as I'm going through these trials and tribulations of my own pain and suffering, God continue to provide the resources, the people that would be, as I like to say, the marathon runner. And he's running, he's tired, and he's getting that pain in the side, as Paul would say, that thorn in the side. But on the sideline, there is the brothers and sisters who walk in Christ, who handle you the bottle of hope. As you're going further down and you're sweating and the sweat is in your eyes and you're blinded and you can't see your way, somebody hand you a towel that tells you you can press on. As you go a little further and you feel like you just want to quit, somebody say, press on towards the mark of perfection. Go for the prize. That encouragement, that support. In the pain when you are suffering, I saw marathon runners fall out. I saw marathon runners get cramps in their leg. Pain and suffering was out because also in their mind they wanted to win. They wanted to finish the race. We are called to finish the race so we can hear the voice through all the pain and suffering. We can hear the voice that says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Let us strive toward this. And this can only happen when we truly accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. It's a simple plan. He made it real simple. God is not complex when we get closer to him. He reveals the secret. It's a secret, simple plan. Speaking with your mouth. Let the world know that you accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Be not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And believe in your heart what you said. Not get caught up whether your mind believe it. Because that's the devil's workshop. Only when you can get it renewed are you ready in the mind. But believe in your heart. Hide it in your heart. Put it deep in there. And once you accept him, then the doors, all the benefits that he provides will be yours. It's worth its weight in gold. And let me tell you, you're not going to be this. And I don't care for this word. I appreciate it when I look at it from the Hebrew text, that perfection means maturity. But based on the Webster or the human definition, flawlessness, I think we should learn, as I heard a quote one time, we should learn to love the imperfect perfectly. Because God loves us as imperfect as we are. Again, there are many people bringing the word, bringing the knowledge and wisdom that will help you to gain the understanding in order for you to press on, to stay in the race, even when you're suffering or you're hurting or you're in pain, physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, whatever your pain or suffering is. And it varies from individual to individual. What one can take, the other may not. But that's why iron sharpens iron is so important. But there are many. So we like to invite you to Kingdom Builder Development Institute. We want you to email us at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com, send in your prayers, your requests, join in. That would be amazing, because each person is trying to bring the knowledge and wisdom of God's word to you to help you be the best God intended you to be. Remember, the good things that he planned for us long time ago. Contact us at the home office at 313-583-9739. And don't forget to sow into the ministry of www.givelify.com, which is G-I-V-E-L-I-F-Y.com. I see, I was looking at, well, rephrase that. I saw this on the screen. I looked at a football field, and I looked like I saw it was full. And people yelling and screaming. And I thought to myself, now imagine if everybody gave $1 for every game, from everything from the concession stand to some ministry that is trying to spread the good news of God. We can get Jesus to come back a little sooner. Because the word has to go out to all the ends of the world. That is our responsibility. And share the gospel. We don't change nobody. God does the change. So we must trust that God is going to make that change. Well, it starts with us doing our part. We're the agents, if you will, that the Spirit can live in, the host, so we can do the work. We're the body. See, God is divine dresser. Jesus is divine. We are the branches. We need to bear the good fruit. Go out and bear the good fruit despite of your pain and suffering. As always, in parting, you pray for me, I pray for you, and let's watch and see the miraculous thing, even in your pain and suffering, what God will do. Have an amazing week. God bless you.
How did I make it this far? Through the valleys and over the hills. I know it had to be God. How did I make it through the storm? How did I make it through the rain? If you want to know just how I got here, it's so easy to explain. It was God's rain. It was God's rain. It was God's rain. It was God's rain. I made it this far. By the grace of God. God's rain. God's rain. For how you brought me, how you brought me through the night. Lord, you kept me, and you never left me. You stood by my side. There were so many times when I came so close. Oh man, death, he tried to take me in. So the reason I'm here is not hard for me to see. In fact, it's so easy for me to explain. It was God's grace. God's grace. It was God's grace. It was God's grace. I made it this far. The grace of God. I remember the time when I strayed away. Even though I knew the word, still I would obey. But God's mercy and His grace stayed with me and brought me all the way. Anybody wanna know just how I anybody wanna know how I'm still standing? Yes, I made it by the grace of God. Some people said they said I wouldn't make it. Some people said that I wouldn't be here today, but look at me, look at me. I made it, yeah, by the grace. Sit down and look back down to the years I have to share so many tears. Well, I made it. Well, I made it. Oh, by the grace of God. And I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you right now, Jesus. I made it by the grace.